Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. I'm going to a song party tonight, and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, I love you.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the show for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck, who is feeling quite emotional today. Maybe it's the weather. Maybe it's in the stars. Maybe it was the eclipse. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, you guys. But I'm here, and we're recording. And I'm dressing up as Snooki for trivia tomorrow. So, what now, atheists? I don't know what's going on. We're doing, I'm recording this on Tuesday, October 24th. So, on October 25th, I decided that we were going to dress up as the cast of Jersey Shore for trivia. It's not a trivia sanctioned event. The place we do trivia at was not like, everyone dress up, let's do Halloween a week early. It was just me. I just personally decided that it would be fun if me and all my friends dressed up as the cast members of Jersey Shore. And obviously I'm Snooki. Who the fuck else am I going to be? Let's be so honest and real right now. I am a meatball myself. I also genetically am a meatball. You guys forget that I'm 5'3" because you can't stand next to me. All right. I have big boobs, but don't you forget, I'm short. So meatball, that's me. I'm Snook. So I'm so excited. I've been getting my little costume together. I got like a leopard dress and these big sunglasses. And then I bought a big stuffed crocodile. And I'm also going to wear slippers because I feel like slippers are very Snooki. I'm not trying to be like going out Snooki. I'm trying to be like Snooki when she's at home post club, like still half in her club wear, half not. And then I also bought a t-shirt that says Team Meatball that I was going to cut to make into like a crop off the shoulder shirt because that feels very of that era as well. But that's not coming in the mail until tomorrow. So it's going to be a game time call if it arrives in time, but fingers crossed that it does. And I hope that my friends show up in costume because if they don't, I'm going to be pissed. If they don't, I'm just going to be the only person dressed up as Snooki randomly a week before Halloween. That would be the meanest thing they ever did to me. I don't know why. I had like a nightmare the other night that none of them dressed up. And then I just showed up dressed as Snooki and they were like, sorry, Maddie. And so now every day since I've been like, but what if? No. I think they're going to dress up. If they wouldn't, they would tell me. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking something into existence right now. Anyways, doing Lads on Tour Jersey edition tomorrow. And then my bestie's coming to visit me this weekend, which I'm so excited. I was talking to my therapist earlier today about just how much I love Ashley, how I would literally die for that woman. I love her literally the most out of every living, breathing thing that has ever existed in the history of the earth. I think my love for Ashley is more than all of that. And that's the truth, baby. But the reason why I was talking to my therapist about Ashley was because, one, I was just saying how excited I was to see her this weekend. But also, I was talking about how my friendship with her, the love that I share with her, has really set the bar and raise the standard for like all kinds of love coming in and out of my life. You know, not only do I think that being friends with her has made me a better friend and she's raised the bar for what friendship should look like in my life, but I also think that like the kind of intimacy and closeness that I share with her has raised the bar for what I expect in romantic relationships as well. And I know this is a sentiment that's echoed by a lot of women, where it's like the women in your life, the female friendships that you have, the way you experience love and intimacy and vulnerability and closeness within those relationships can set like such a high, unshakable bar for what that can feel like with another person, that like, of course it bleeds into how we see romantic partnerships as well. I feel like the women in my life have always raised the bar for what I expect out of people emotionally. And it just is such a beautiful, wonderful thing. I literally feel so fucking lucky to have a friend like her in this life. It's just so special to share that kind of bond with someone in this lifetime. We've been friends for like going on 20 years, which is crazy. To just have someone that you are so intertwined with, that you can really rely on, that you experience like such deep closeness with, that like totally transforms the way you see and experience love. It is so beautiful. And I just love her. So I'm so excited to see her this weekend. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to Sleep No More with my friends, which is it's an interactive theater show. For those of you that don't know, it's done in the McKittrick Hotel, which is like a 4 or 5 story hotel. I've seen the show a few times. I've gone like more than a few times. I've gone like 6 or 7 times to Sleep No More over the course of, you know, the 8 years that I've lived in New York. And basically, it's Macbeth. The show is Macbeth, but it's done in real time throughout the hotel. So you go in and all of the audience members wear masks. So you walk around this hotel and you find actors and they're like running through the halls, going scene to scene, running up and down the staircases, and you just have to chase after them and like get, you know, glimpses of the show. They tell you to like find an actor and stick with them, because then you get to see the whole show from their perspective. So every time I've gone, I've tried to follow a different actor. And the last time that I was fucking there, mind you, I've been to this show quite a few times and I'd never seen the scene before. Last time I was there, I ended up in the room for the orgy scene and it blew my fucking balls off. Okay. I was like pissed that I'd never seen this scene before. I won't spoil it, but it's crazy. And there's strobe lights going on and you just see, oh my God, it's beautiful. It's fucking incredible. I really need to end up in that room again. So I don't remember which actor I was following or like how I ended up there. I know where the room is in relation to the set. So I'm sure I could get there, but it's like, okay, so what? I'm just going to loiter around that area of the set all night waiting for that scene to happen? Like, maybe. Because it was incredible and I just so badly want to see it. But anyways, I'm so excited to go see the show. And it's always so fun after Sleep No More getting to go get dinner with everybody and just chat through like what you saw. Because also you get split up from your group pretty much immediately. You have to go through this on your own. And you'll maybe see people when you're there, but it's best, don't try to stay with people when you're doing it. You just have to go run through, experience a show, you reconnect afterwards, and then we're gonna sit and have dinner and just talk through everything that we saw. It's gonna be incredible. I'm so excited to see the show with people that have never seen the show before. Let this be your reminder to use more lube in the bedroom, because one, it feels incredible, and two, you are probably not enjoying enough of it. Introducing Mochi Melt, the brand that is elevating intimacy and spicing up bedrooms across the country with their sweet and mouthwatering lineup of flavored lubes that have been meticulously crafted to taste just as good as they feel. We are, of course, talking about flavored lubricant, which comes in three different flavors: honeydew, watermelon, and strawberry. I'm the type of person that likes to leave my lube out on my nightstand, just letting people enjoy the beautiful packaging and also just leading decor forward with my sexual values. Listen, I'm here to have a good time. I want to have a lifetime full of pleasure, full of great fucking sex. And great sex to me includes lube. You deserve to have your pleasure prioritized in the bedroom. So if you're interested in trying out some of the Mochi Melt flavored lubricants yourself, Mango's trying to drink my coffee, you can get 15% off with the code emotionally online at mochimelt.com. That's 15% off flavored lubricants when you go to mochimelt.com and use code emotionally online. So earlier today, I was listening to an episode of Emma Chamberlain's podcast titled "Is Romantic Love an Illusion?" which obviously caught my eye because I'm a lover girl and hopes romantic, and I wouldn't call love an illusion. No. I understand why this take exists or why this conversation exists. I thought it was an interesting episode. You should definitely go listen to it. But Emma's conclusion to the question, is romantic love an illusion, was really to say a lot of it is, some of it isn't. And she was talking about a lot of it from her perspective of being a child raised by divorced parents and how being raised by divorced parents sort of fractured her idea of what romantic love was or if it existed as a child. And then she gets older and she sort of experiences these intense feelings and relationships for herself, and the more that she experiences and goes through, the more that she feels like finding like real, true, authentic romantic love is incredibly hard to find, to the point where it feels like the idea of romantic love being all around us or its prominence in society and in our culture is sort of like fake. And it is sort of an illusion in the way that it's sold to us as like, oh, there's all these couples around us, all these families, all these marriages, and so few of them are actually truly in love. And in that way, romantic love is an illusion because so few of us will actually experience it in our lifetimes, which I don't know if I fully agree with. I think there's part of me that agrees, right? Because I'm a hopeless romantic and I'm CEO of Lover Girls USA, but I'm also not unrealistic. At least I don't believe that I am. And I also know what my own lived experience is and what I've observed and witnessed in other people. So yeah, I mean, I can tell you right now that I think a lot of people enter relationships for the wrong reasons. I think a lot of people are in relationships with people just because they don't want to be alone. Because they feel pressured to, because they want to have children, you know, because of whatever reason. I think that there are a lot of people that are together that are not in love. And I also think that we all have different ideas of what love is. I think some people might look at one relationship and be like, oh, that's love. Meanwhile, I might look at it and be like, that is not what love is to me. So it's also a little hard because we all have different ideas of what love is supposed to look like, and what would feel like being loved to us. But something that Emma was talking about in the episode was how she feels like instances of like real romantic love always have three things, and those three things are intimacy, passion, and commitment. But there's usually one missing. In most examples of relationships that we see around us, they either have intimacy and passion, but no commitment, passion, commitment, but no intimacy. And I think that's sometimes true. I think it's obviously more complicated than that. But I agree that it is hard to have all three. And also, what is your idea of those three, right? When we're talking about like emotional intimacy and closeness, you ask two different people what the bar is on that, and they're going to give you two different answers. So it's like, not only are you finding a connection that you can have this intimacy, passion, commitment with, but you also have to find someone whose bar for what that looks like is similar to yours. Because what is intimate to someone else might not feel intimate to you, which is something that I think about a lot. And that goes back to what I said earlier about feeling like my female friendships have really raised the bar for what intimacy and closeness should look like in romantic relationships, because the way that I can rely on and confide in and just bare my heart to my best friends is like, obviously I also want that in a relationship. But I think the like extent and like the depth of these relationships, of my friendship with Ashley, is like, it's so profound. It feels so profound that, like, yeah, you've got to be really willing to get in there and get vulnerable and show me all of you and let me love all of you. Let me accept all of you. Let me sit in the, you know, parts of yourself that you feel uncomfortable with, and I will let you do the same for me. And you just have to trust. You have to build that trust for that intimacy over time, but a lot of people are not even willing to get there in the first place. You know what I mean? A lot of people are very like emotionally closed off to the point where that's not even on the table. That's not even something that we can work up to, work into. So it's like, okay, if we're, let's just play along with this here. The idea that like real love is intimacy, passion, commitment. Not only do you have to find all of those three things in someone that also finds them in you, but you've got to find them at like the levels that you want, the levels that you deem important for each of those things. You know? Her conclusion that love is real and it's not an illusion, but it's so hard to find, so it sort of is an illusion in some ways, is real. And also, I guess this is where like a lot of my confusion starts to come up when I think about this in terms of my own life and how I experience my own feelings and whatever. Like, to me, loving is like the easiest thing that we can do. That's not to say that it's not scary or it's not, you know, intimidating, terrifying, just the most overwhelming thing ever. That's not to say that there isn't hard parts of loving people, but I think the decision to love is always something that has just felt like, well, of course, to me. I don't feel that I have an option but to be how I am. I think that I was just, I've said it before, I think I was born with hard eyes. And I think it would be harder for me to be anyway else. It would be harder for me to be jaded and closed off and hardened than to not be. So I think sometimes it's hard for me to understand, because there's no way that there's like such a lack of people that are romantics and lovers and are willing to take that risk and make that jump, to jump into the fog, so to say, a great Wombat song. There's in my head, it feels like so improbable that there's like such a like a discrepancy here in the amount of people that are like willing to put in the time and effort and risk and energy and healing into building a romantic relationship, and people that aren't or can't for whatever reason. It feels absurd to me that it'd be so mismatched. I think part of my not understanding is rooted in my relentless optimism and feeling like no matter how many times I have been burned and hurt and made to feel dumb and small for loving people, for caring, for being sweet, you know, for showing my heart, for loving the way I do with everyone, for all the times I've been made to feel like silly and small for remaining true to how I want to love other people, it has never made me feel like I should stop being that I should stop being who I am, that I should stop loving how I am. No matter how many times that things have not worked out, no matter how many times that I've gotten hurt, I have never hardened myself or closed myself off. It feels like the worst possible thing that I could ever do. I would rather get hurt 100 times and still be believing in love because I am love, and I know that love exists because I exist, because I see my heart. I know what it's like to feel the way that I feel, and it would be so silly to believe that I was the only person that felt this way. I would rather hang on to my relentless optimism than ever give that up. It feels like such a clear, there's no part of me that's confused on this. It feels like, yes, this is just, of course, this is just the way it has to be. I have to be this way. I have to cling to my relentless optimism. I have to just keep believing. I have to rely on myself, use myself as proof here, because what's the alternative? That I don't believe in love? That I become hardened, that I am scared of opening myself to new people, that I'm constantly closing myself off and, you know, potentially missing out on the things that could really be best for me in this life? Is that the solution? Because I don't think it is. So there's a part of me that feels so confused why it feels so difficult, why it feels so rare to find real, true romantic love, because in my head it's like, well, there's no way. There's no way that the odds are so mismatched here. Do you know what I'm saying? But you know what? Even with my relentless optimism, the inability to really, truly shake me, that doesn't mean that I don't have moments often where I'm like, hope feels like a heavy burden to carry. And it almost feels like, would it be easier to just believe that everything was bad? It isn't. But hope is hard sometimes. Having hope, holding on to hope is hard and it's heavy. And I have moments a lot where I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is fucking exhausting. This thing that I want so badly, that I am so full of, that I have so much to give, I just wish that for once it could be easy. And I think that's a feeling that a lot of us feel, is just like this exhaustion of like, oh my God, my beautiful, precious little heart needs a minute. You know, I think this is where my insecurities start to pop up, because it's hard for me not to go like, why is it always so difficult? Why can't it just be easy? And it turns from like, this exhaustion and this frustration in general turns into like, why is it so difficult to love me? Why am I so difficult to love? When will I meet someone that makes me feel like loving me is easy? When will I feel like I was the obvious choice, you know? And I know that is like where my insecurities sit. And when I entertain those like thoughts of like, why is it always so difficult? Why is it this? Why is it that? And I let myself go down that loophole. I know that it's just like, it's a door to my insecurities that we just keep opening up, and we can go down that hole, you know, for hours if we wanted to, and it's not helpful. But it's also hard not to let my insecurities cloud my ability to show up as my full self. I'm not, at the end of the day, I'm just one fucking girly, okay? And I'm not perfect. And I definitely struggle with it sometimes. It's like, in my head, it feels like the obvious choice. It's the obvious conclusion. Obviously, I will always get there. But sometimes it's the getting there that feels like the hard part. I will always get to the conclusion of like, yes, stay honest to yourself, stay true to your heart, stick to the hope that love is out there and love is real because you exist and your heart exists. And I will always get there. That is not without going back and forth with my insecurities sometimes. I used to talk so much about how my fear of being too much controlled me. And I don't feel that it's something that controls me now, not in the way that it once did. But that doesn't mean my insecurities of too muchness are just poof, gone forever. And they never show up and they never rear its ugly head, right? I'm doing my best at
protecting my heart while also not feeding into my insecurities or letting them in when they don't have a place here anymore. I'm not perfect with it. I know I take things too personally, and that I have a tendency to interpret other people's lacking as a sign that I'm not enough. I will take on things that are not my burden to carry. And part of that comes from the fact that, like, if I believe that it's my fault, if I believe that it's me, if I can blame it on myself, it means that I can fix it. It's a control thing. If I believe that I have control over this, then it makes me feel safer and more secure. So maybe I blame myself partially because I hope that it's me. Because if it's not me, that's 10 times fucking scarier. So anyways, I didn't know that a Emma Chamberlain podcast episode would make me cry today, but is romantic love an illusion? I don't think so. I agree that it's hard to find, but not because it isn't out there in abundance. I think it is. Genuinely. I believe that romantic love, people that you can have these like earth-shattering connections with, are out there in abundance. And I really, with my whole heart, believe this. But I think that there are a lot of people that are really scared and are really hurt. And I think a lot of people have a hard time processing that hurt. And I think we live in a time where it is the easiest it has ever been to avoid processing, on top of the fact that it's hard to get access to real therapy and help that can take you to a place where you're able to process those feelings and emotions. I don't believe that romantic love is an illusion. I think that we're all so full of it. But doing the hard work of actually pulling it out of us, being brave, taking the leap, looking inwards, being vulnerable, choosing another person, actually building trust with another person, and doing the scary thing, that's the hard part. It's not that we're lacking love or lacking the ability to love, it's that we're all fucking terrified. Romantic love isn't scarce. It's everywhere. It's all around us. It's in all of us. But I think making the choice, making the brave choice to choose to be a lover, to put your heart out there, to risk things going poorly, that is the hard part. And maybe I don't give myself enough credit for how brave my little heart is. My big heart is. But I think all the time about how I just wish it felt easy. I wish more than anything that it felt easy. And sometimes I have this thought in my head that's like, someday it will be easy. But I really don't know if it will. Maybe. Or maybe it'll just be a different genre of hard, you know? I don't know. I've just got so much love to give. Some days it's just hard. And I guess Emma Chamberlain's podcast, just, it hit me on the right day at the right time, mama. I'm just feeling frustrated today. And I wish it was easier. I wish everything in life was easier. And you know what? I am so good at sitting in these feelings. I'm so good at giving myself the space to feel the more uncomfortable feelings. I am so good at letting myself show up as I am day to day. So if today I feel sad and I feel frustrated and I feel like, God damn it, why can't things just be easy? Then I'm going to let myself feel this way today. And then if tomorrow or the next day I wake up and I'm feeling better, and I'm feeling stronger, and I'm feeling more like my usual hopeless romantic, relentlessly optimistic self, fantastic. It comes and goes, right? And I want to give myself credit for being able to sit in the middle for letting myself feel all of these feelings, for not letting my difficult emotions change me or make me settle. I'm so grateful that I'm able to just sit in it, sit in the uncomfortable stuff, let myself feel it, and just let it bring me closer to myself, not change me into somebody else. You know, skincare can be really confusing. And with all of the complicated beauty jargon, it can seem nearly impossible to figure out what is actually best for your skin. It is super overwhelming trying to figure out what's going to be best for you, but now it doesn't have to be, because you can shop with confidence with The Inky List. The Inky List is an award-winning, science-backed skincare brand that has the right ingredients at an affordable price to get the results you're looking for. Whether you're someone with acne-prone skin or you're just looking to boost hydration, The Inky List can help you create a unique skincare routine to focus on your specific skincare goals. Maybe you already have some ingredients that you know that you like that you'd want to incorporate into your skincare routine, or maybe you have no idea what's going to be best for you, in which case your first stop should be the quiz they have on their website to help you figure out which ingredients could be best for your skin. A lot of you guys probably know that I used to work in skincare, so I am a big skincare fan. I'm someone that probably has a more complicated routine than some people, but I'm also someone that knows exactly what my skin likes and what is going to keep me feeling plump and glowy and gorgeous. So whether you are brand new to the skincare game or you're like me and you already know which ingredients work best for you, you can find your routine for under $30 on The Inky List. So as you might be able to guess, I do use the hyaluronic acid from The Inky List. I also love their cleansing balm for taking off my makeup at night. And I'm also a huge fan of their new plumping lip balm. I love a lip plumper. I love a lip balm. And this one from The Inky List is just beautiful and gorgeous. Right now, The Inky List is offering listeners of this show 20% off their purchase with promo code emotionally online. Just go to theinkylist.com, spelled I-N-K-E-Y, and use code emotionally online for 20% off your order. Again, that's theinkylist.com using promo code emotionally online.
All right, now that we've had a good cry, let's move on to some of these submissions, shall we?
For those of you that don't know, we've got a submission box on this channel where you guys can submit any story you've got, requests for advice, am I the assholes, anything that you want to bring to the sleepover, anything you want to share with the other sleepover attendees, you throw in that box and I will maybe read it out on the show. Hello, Maddie. I hope you're having a wonderful day. I wanted to ask what your green flags are when you text with someone you're dating / want to date. For me, it's that we talk like we're friends and send each other memes or funny pictures and that he doesn't get creepy or weird. My current partner never texts me sexual or love-related things, and I appreciate that. But I sometimes wonder if maybe some people would want that when they date someone. What are your preferences? Also, what do you usually text to keep the conversation going every day, like conversation starters? Love your videos so much. I don't text every day when I'm dating someone. I think I text most days when I'm interested in someone. But it's not like I need to text you every day sort of thing, or I'm going to text you even if I don't have anything to say sort of thing. And this is probably because I'm not the world's biggest texter. I would prefer phone calls, honestly. And I do like to talk close to every single day when I'm seeing someone, but it's not like a requirement. It doesn't have to be every single day. You know, I'm not counting, I'm not keeping score here, but I definitely like lovey texts and reminders when I'm seeing someone. I think maybe even more than that is I love being led into like the tiny meaningless thoughts that someone has throughout their day. Like when someone texts me or calls me to share like what would otherwise have been a fleeting thought inside their brain that nobody would have ever heard. When somebody lets me into that side of their brain where it feels like they just want any reason to talk to me, it's like, oh, I'm just doing this and I was thinking about this. Do you think I should do this? Do you think I should whatever? Like when you have someone that cares about your input for little things, or they just want to tell you the silliest, most meaningless parts of their day, that is something that makes me feel really loved and cared for. It makes me feel important. It makes me feel like I'm important to you,
that you want to include me on even the smallest of things in your day. So I love when somebody texts me something just ridiculous and small and meaningless. But I also love being like confided in. So I also love when like the person I'm seeing has a bad day and they want to call me or text me or be like, I'm so frustrated about this, and I just get to listen. I love when people give me the opportunity to be there for them. Why am I going to cry? I think I just like, I so admire when people open up their hearts like that. And I understand how difficult it is to like let someone in like that and be like, I've had a shitty day and I just need to talk to someone about it, and letting me be there. And I just think it's an honor and a privilege that I don't take lightly. So I really love, it's just like when people tell you things and they let you in on parts of their life that make you feel important, that really matter to me, whether it's the little meaningless things that make you feel important because they're little and meaningless and you still wanted to tell me, or if it's the big things, because these are big things and they're hard to tell people, but I wanted to tell you. And it's just, yeah, it's an honor that I don't take lightly and that makes me feel really good. But I also love little lovey texts too. That's probably how I text. I think with like the sexual stuff, it depends what stage of the relationship we're in or how long we've been seeing each other or if we're friends or not. I think with the sexual stuff, it really depends relationship to relationship if I'd be cool with that. But you know, I do like it. But it depends who it's coming from. Hello, Maddie. First of all, I'd like to say that I really love your podcast and it lights up my week every time. So thank you for that. Thank you. Last episode, you talked about cheating. So here is something that's been bothering me. My best friend of my whole life had an affair with a man who is about 10 years older than her. He is already engaged. She lied about having an affair with him to her friends and also to me for months, even though we asked her all the time if they broke off contact or not. I figured out that they were having an affair, but I had to ask her about it specifically before she confessed it. I was pretty upset about it and told her immediately to break it off. I said that I thought more of her, and I tried to make it clear what it means for the other woman, the fiance of the man. She couldn't understand what I meant and was totally behind rose-colored lenses. Now I see her as a totally different person and have kind of lost the interest of being friends with her. I don't know if I'm overreacting, but I also just don't know if I can be friends with someone who hurts other people like that. It shows me kind of that she is not really a loyal or trustful person. I always thought more of her, and I think it's weird that she doesn't even show regret at all. She is all tied up in the charm of that old man. I don't know. It's weird. Do you think I overreact when I say I am questioning the friendship? I personally don't think you're overreacting by questioning the friendship. I think I would too, because I think when something like this happens and you realize that there's such like an intense like value discrepancy between the two of you, of course that is cause for concern. I think when it comes to friends cheating on partners and it like is situations that don't necessarily involve you, my take is always that like I think people can change. I think people make mistakes. I always want to give people that I love the benefit of the doubt because I believe that everyone that I love has like a heart of gold and the best intentions, but I think that sometimes we fuck up. However, where it starts to change for me is when people can't take responsibility for their actions or they don't see that there's anything wrong with what they did. Like if a friend cheats on someone or is involved in cheating knowingly, and they come to me and they're like, Maddie, I fucked up. This happened. I don't know what to do. I feel awful. Like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why I did this. I think that as a friend, I would feel empathy in that situation and I would show up and be there for my friend. I will always be 100% fucking honest with the people that I love. I'm never going to tell someone that it's not fucked up if they did something fucked up. I think my job as a friend is to show up and be honest and be there for my friend in like, yeah, what you did is fucked up, but here's what we can do moving forward. Here's what I think you should do. And like, I will be there for you to navigate this uncertain time. You haven't lost me. I'm still here. But that loyalty and that support comes with like the caveat of like your friend has to be sorry for what they did. They have to know that it was fucked up and be like, I made a huge mistake. They have to know it's a mistake. If your friend is just acting this way and they don't seem to have any type of care or guilt or like point of reflection where they're like, holy shit, what the fuck am I doing? Then yeah, that's where I would stop being so generous in my reaction, you know? And I have talked about this in an episode before. If you want to hear me talk more about it, I think it's called When People You Love Fuck Up. I posted it back in April, I believe. And a lot of people don't agree with my take here. And they feel like if my friend cheats, even if they know that it's wrong and it's bad and they have remorse for it, I'm out. I don't want to be friends with someone like that. And I think however you feel about it is how you feel about it. For me, it's people's reaction that informs how I behave. Because I just believe that good people can make mistakes, that good people do bad things sometimes, that there is redemption, that there is like a room to change and do better and reflect. And I think that part of being a friend is showing up for your people in those hard times where you're not on their side. In fact, you like vehemently disagree with them. And I think that it's like an opportunity to show up in those relationships and be honest and challenge your friend and encourage them to do better. But that comes with your friend already knowing that themselves and wanting to do better, because you can't change people. And some people can't do better. Some people are just like shitty and don't feel remorse. And it's not that a good person made a mistake. It's that they're a shitty person. You know, I think with cheating, I usually feel like my reaction really depends on the situation and who I'm talking to and what the exacts of the situation are. Because I think if I'm talking to the person that's been cheated on, I'm always going to tell them to leave. If I'm talking to the person that cheated and they're remorseful, I'm going to tell them that they have to, like, you know, deal with the consequences of their actions. But this doesn't mean they're a irredeemable person or that they can't do better and be better, or that there's not like a world where they can be a good person that makes a shitty mistake, that did a bad thing. I think there has to be room for like redemption. That doesn't mean redemption with the person you cheated on. I think if you have cheated on someone, you need to accept that you've lost that person forever. You need to fuck off and leave them alone, because it is a trauma. Cheating on someone, being cheated on, is absolutely traumatic. And I think that when someone does that to you, I would always encourage the person to walk away and to grieve that. And I would always encourage the other person to let them, you know? But it's hard, because I try to handle everything with like care, and it feels better for me to let people fuck up, to let people do bad things, but also to have a bar of like, you're allowed to fuck up and you're allowed to do bad things. But if you're just being a reckless asshole, just like handing out free trauma to undeserving people, and you don't give a fuck, then you and I don't hold the same values. Because if we held the same values and you were behaving like this and you had a moment of lapse in judgment, you would be able to immediately be like, I made a huge fucking mistake. What have I done? If you are not having that immediate reaction of, holy shit, what have I done? Then there is like a huge fundamental difference between us that I don't know I could get past as a friend. It's not even really in the act of that makes me question, because I do believe that good people can do bad things. And I guess I just imagine a world where like one of my close friends did something like this. Like, could I abandon them? And the answer is no, because I know that if any of my close friends did this, they would be like distraught with themselves. Right? That's why I feel so like forgiving and so like open-minded to being there for someone, because I know that none of my friends would think this was okay. So if they did it, it must have been like a huge lapse of judgment that I need to help them get back on track, because this isn't who they are. But if this is who your friend is and they're just like involved in this relationship with this guy who's cheating on his wife and they don't seem to give a fuck at all, like, that's kind of fucked up. That's super fucked up, actually. And it would make me question it, too. And I do think that always the majority of the responsibility is going to fall on the person in the relationship. But that doesn't mean that the other party doesn't carry any type of responsibility. I don't know. I feel like very critical of people who are the other woman knowingly, because I have been the other woman unknowingly. And I've made a podcast episode talking about that a while back as well. I think it was last December that I did it, where I was talking about like how painful it was for me to realize that I was the other woman unknowingly, that I had been looped into this painful, you know, traumatic experience that was being inflicted on another woman, and I was a part of it unknowingly, and how angry I felt and how like betrayed that I felt, because not only have you disrespected me, but you forced me to be disrespectful to another woman that I didn't even know about, that I never would have been a part of this if I had known. And it feels like so just like awful and degrading and horrible. And I talk more in depth in that episode, but when I was the other woman unknowingly, I cried for weeks, mama. I was distraught. I was distraught that I unknowingly hurt another person like that. And it wasn't fucking my fault. I didn't know. I was also lied to. But I was still up all hours of the night, just like riddled with guilt and anxiety for a position that somebody else put me in. I can't imagine being the type of person that could do that knowingly. I can't imagine it, because it just feels like, I don't know, to not have that part of your brain, to not have this like conscience where you give a fuck about other people, even the people that you don't know personally, to be so selfish that you only think about your own pleasure and desires and not how that impacts other people, to not recognize like the trauma of cheating is like too much for me. And I've had people very close to me in this life endure cheating, and being able to see very intimately what that does to a person is like, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. It is like so painful and so fucked up. And I try to give people grace. I try to be as fair as possible. But if it's like a difference in like fundamental values and how we see like what is good and what is bad and how we should behave and how we should treat each other, that is like a huge problem to me. So it depends. I don't think you're overreacting. I think I would react the same way if I found out my friend was just doing this shit willy-nilly and didn't seem to give a fuck. Because that's fucked up. That's insanely fucked up. So no, I don't think that you're overreacting at all. I think that most people would be really shocked and questioning who the fuck is this person that they're friends with if they found out that a friend was behaving like that. It is shocking. And I don't know why people act like that. It is supremely depressing when people do. Huh. Well, we've had a fun episode today, haven't we? I know that it is very difficult when you're a lover to hang on to the hope that there are other lovers just like you out there, but I just encourage you to keep hanging on to that hope, and you just have to keep fucking believing that not only are they out there, but they're all fucking around you. They are all fucking around you. And I think the unfortunate reality is just that a lot of people are scared. They are scared and they are hurt. And they're healing and they're trying their hardest to process and get to the next stage. But I think the best thing that we can do for each other is to be brave and to keep loving The search for romantic love is a long and difficult and at times unrewarding process. And some days there are going to be moments where you feel so defeated and just sad that things aren't easier, that, you know, we don't have a better story to tell just yet. But I really am like a firm believer that it is all around us. Love is everywhere. It is abundant. It is never scarce. And even if it feels difficult right now, it doesn't mean it'll be that way forever. And maybe someday it'll be so obvious to you why things didn't work out the way you originally wanted them to. I think about this all the time in other ways, in other corners of my life. I think about how badly my younger self wanted to do this as a career. And I remember so many times through those years feeling so like discouraged and upset that my YouTube channel wasn't getting the traction and the views that I felt that it deserved. And I felt like I wanted it so badly. I wanted people to watch my stuff and feel compelled by it. I wanted to know that there was an audience for what I was making. I wanted to know that somebody out there thought that it was important and cool, that someone resonated with it. I wanted it so bad, and I cried often. And now, looking back and looking at what's happening in my life now, I feel like things couldn't have gone a better way. It needed to happen at the exact time it did. I needed to learn everything I learned before I was able to have the dream job, you know? And I couldn't see it then, but now looking back, I can see that everything worked out exactly the way that it was always meant to. And I just have to hold on to hope that someday I'm going to look back at all of this, all of the shit that I've talked about in dating and love and sex, in my too muchness and feeling more secure in myself and feeling more secure and asking for what I want, for what I deserve, for being vulnerable. When I, years from now, can look back at this whole journey, at this whole process, I hope that I'm also able to have a moment then where I can sit back and say that everything happened the exact way that it was meant to. And even if I can't see it right now, I just have to trust that there are forces out there that are looking out for me, that are protecting me, that are guiding me to where I need to go. And even if I can't see it right now, there are powers at work that I am not aware of. And they're going to make sure that it's okay for me. So let this just be a reminder to be kind to each other. Let people show up exactly as they are. Give people patience and grace. Try not to take things personally. But if you do take things personally, don't get mad at yourself. Let yourself feel all that you need to feel. Let yourself feel anger, feel sadness, feel disappointment. Look up at the sky and ask, why the fuck is everything so hard all the time? When is it going to be easy? When is my easy thing going to happen? Feel everything that you need to feel. Let it all out. Take a deep breath and move forward. Someday it'll make more sense than it does right now. And it's okay to be frustrated and sad and disappointed. We just can't sit there forever. Hold on to your relentless optimism. Hold on to your hope, because it's what matters most. What matters most is that you remain a softie and a lover and a sweetheart, because the world needs more of it. And what a brave thing it is to be a lover. Never forget that. I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.